Imagine a child facing two scenarios. In the first scenario, says author Tom Rainer, Mom tells Johnny that he must clean his room, and it must be spotless. He'll probably have to put hours into his efforts, and anything less than perfection is not acceptable. Whether he likes it or not, that room must be cleaner than it has ever been before. In the second scenario, Mom tells Johnny that someone has given him an incredible gift. It is wrapped and ready to open. She increases his excitement by letting him know this gift will be one of the greatest he has ever received or will ever receive. It will bring him countless hours of joy. Okay, if Johnny has the choice of scenario one or scenario two, which does he choose? Rainer says, I know the two scenarios are unlikely. And I know the choice is obvious. But every church member faces two distinct scenarios where the choice is just as obvious. In the first option, we approach church membership similar to country club membership. We're joining the church to see what we can get out of it. The pastor is to feed us through his sermons. We have specified an acceptable range for the length of the sermon. The music is to fit our style exactly. Any deviations are not acceptable. The programs and ministries are for our benefit. We will determine what we like and what we don't like. We are members who expect perks and privileges and service. So what happens when the country club church member is asked to contribute to the work of the church? What happens if such a member is asked to serve in the nursery for a few weeks? What happens if that member is asked to lead a fifth grade boys' Bible study class? Rainer says the response is predictable. One country club member may agree to the request out of obligation. She has a legalistic approach to serving. It's not that she wants to do it. After all, country club church membership is not about working. It's about being served. But since she's been asked, she begrudgingly accepts and begins the ministry with a bad attitude. She won't last long. Other country club church members just get mad when they're asked. Some may respond that they did their time in early years. They make ministry sound like a prison sentence. Still, some refuse to offer a reason why they won't contribute. They're simply indignant that they were asked at all. And yet another group of country club church members gets angry toward the pastors. After all, that's what we pay them to do. Those pastors are just lazy, they say, trying to get out of work. There is a second option to church membership. It's the biblical option that sees membership as a gift, something to be treasured. Membership means we have the opportunity to serve and give rather than the legalistic option to do so. Our entire attitude is different when we approach membership the biblical way. Now let me ask you, do you consider your church membership a gift? I mean, are we conditioned to expect from our various memberships gifts? This happens all the time. We're Sam's Club members. We didn't go this Friday night. It was very weird. My daughters, we were driving down the road, they said, we're not going to Sam's Club. We've actually turned the opposite way. They're so conditioned. But at Sam's Club on Friday nights, you may not know this, if you go on Friday nights, they do not serve samples. That's upsetting to me. However, if you know the intricacies and the insides and outsides of Sam's Club, you'll know that if you go back to the bakery, you can actually ask for a cookie, as long as you have kids, and that's who I use, that you can get a cookie. Now, I've become so close with the bakery staff at Sam's Club that I always give the puppy dog eyes and I say, maybe one for the adult too. Sorry. Let's face it, we know what memberships, how they work, right? You go to a bank, sign up for a checking account or a savings account. They always have the gifts there, you know, the hand mixer, the cooler. They always do this as well. Credit cards, they're going to entice you with gifts to become a member. Our golf course that we live next to, they came out with this wonderful promotion this week, said you become an annual member this year. We're going to enter you into a drawing for all of these wonderful gifts. We get the idea of receiving gifts with our membership. But let me ask you this. How is church membership a gift? First, we must understand that if we want to be a church Covell community, another church entity member, we must be first believers, followers, and doers of and for our Lord and Savior. Folks, salvation is a gift. It is a great gift, and we don't deserve it. But when we choose to believe in and love and live for Jesus, here's the good news, we get it. Paul said in Romans 4, 4 and 5, he says, being saved is a gift. If a person could earn it by being good, then it wouldn't be free. But it is. It is given to those who do not work for it. This is part 7 of our sermon series, which is our final installment of what is a church member. And today we're going to talk about the gift of church membership. But first, let's see what our sermon texts have to say about salvation and that gift. So we're going to be looking at two passages today. We're going to look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I'm going to throw 10 in there as well. So Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. You probably have stumbled across that passage. You may have used it or read it. You may be familiar with it. In addition, we're going to look at Titus 2, 11 through 15 as well. So we'll look at both of these. Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 8, he says, because of his kindness, you have been saved through trusting Christ. And even trusting is not of yourselves. It, too, is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good that we've done, so none of us can take any credit for it. It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Now, we jump ahead to this Titus passage. We read Titus 2, 11 through 15, and here's what that passage says. He says, for the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone, and along with this gift comes a realization that God wants us to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures and to live good, God-fearing lives day after day. Looking forward to that wonderful time we've been expecting when his glory shall be seen, the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died under God's judgment against our sins so that he could rescue us from constant falling into sin and make us his very own people with cleansed hearts and real enthusiasm for doing kind things for others. You must teach these things and encourage your people to do them, correcting them when necessary as one who has every right to do so. Don't let anyone think that what you say is not important. Now, as we move backward, and we're going to go back to this Ephesians chapter 2 passage. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, Paul identifies the ability to trust as a gift from God. This ability to trust provides an opportunity for faith based on the reality of this godly, biblical thing you may have heard about, you may have talked about, perhaps you know about it, and it's called grace. Now, a lot of people ask the question, what is grace? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible calls it, quote, one of the key attributes of God. In fact, it goes on to say that it is favor or kindness shown without regard to the worth or the merits of the one who receives it and in spite of what that same person deserves. Now, here's the information regarding grace. We don't deserve salvation. Folks, we don't even deserve to be part of this congregation. But because of God's grace, he says, I will save you, I will involve you, I will allow you to become members of this congregation because you understand the concept of salvation. Now, many people will say, but we're believers. So this should just be something for all of us because we're believers. And the counter argument to that is, but we're also sinners. And because we're sinners, we have to lean on God's grace every single day. In Romans 3, 9 through 12, Paul says this. He says, well then, are we Jews better than others? No, not at all. For we've already shown that all men alike are sinners, whether Jews or Gentiles. As the scriptures say, no one is good. No one in all the world is innocent. No one has ever really followed God's path or even truly wanted to. Everyone is turned away. All have gone wrong. No one anywhere has kept on doing what is right. Not one. Thanks for the harmonica you gave me for Christmas, little Johnny said to his grandfather. It was a great gift. Oh, that's great, said his grandfather. Do you know how to play it? Little Johnny said, oh, I don't play it, Grandpa. My mom gives me $1 a day not to play it during the day. My dad gives me $5 a week not to play it on the weekend. The reason I read this is because of this. There was a lot of regret regarding that gift. God's grace does not regret. It gives. It gives us salvation. Now, we've identified this as a gift. Scripture identifies this as a gift. Titus 2:11, Ephesians 2, verse 8 tells us this. This salvation by God's grace also gives us a second gift. It is a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. We read about this in 2 Corinthians 9:15 and John 1:14, but it doesn't end there. You see, this relationship with his son, which is also a gift, then offers us a secure and reserved place in heaven. Now, that's a gift. And for those of you who are struggling, those of you who are hurting, those of you who are dealing with sickness and pain, that's a gift. And when you call or you email or you Facebook and you say, Chad, what should I do? What do I do? And we can say, at least we have heaven. That's a gift. Now, at this point, a lot of people say, is that all I got? And maybe that's all I need. I mean, Jesus referred to it in John 14, Hebrews 6, 4, calls heaven a heavenly gift. But many people live their lives by accepting these gifts as the means to their eternal end. This is a dangerous place to go. So a lot of people will say this. They'll say, you know what? God, I appreciate salvation. I got it and I appreciate it. What a gift. And God, I love the relationship that I have with your son. That's a gift and I appreciate it and I've got it. And God, I appreciate the fact that you've given me heaven. It's a gift that I appreciate and I'm so glad that I'm going to get it. And a lot of people say, I'll just end it there. They say, I don't need to go any further. I mean, I got salvation. I got this relation with the son. I've got heaven. What more do I really need? You see, our faith in God's grace will get us up there. But God knows that we still have work to do down here. Author Tom Rainer says, when we receive a gift with true appreciation, we naturally want to respond to the giver. Exodus 34:6 says, the Lord God is merciful and gracious. His grace and his gifts, his son, our salvation, heaven, are not his only given gifts. So many people stop there and they miss out on one of the greatest gifts that many people will never realize. And that gift comes to us through Jesus Christ. You see, country club members, and I listen, I'm a country club fan. I have no problem with country clubs. But country club members many times endure the means to embrace the end. And what I mean by that is this, they'll work their entire lives. They'll work hard, they'll toil, they'll slave, they'll do everything they can because they want to play the course, they want to eat the food, they want to be a member of that prestigious institution, and they'll do whatever they can to get there. And when they finally get there, after all the years of working to get there, they'll say, I'm finally here. And they've realized that the means justify the end. They'll look at it and they'll appreciate all the things that they can get from it. And the point is that there's more to life than just that. And in the church, many people will do the same thing. They'll say, I've got salvation. I got the relationship with the Son. I'm looking forward to heaven. I must be done. And I'm saying, we're not even close to being done. There's more to do, folks, on this earth. There is more that God has called us to do for this church. By his grace and through our faith, we as believers are given another gift called the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. That's a great gift, but it doesn't end there. You see, the Holy Spirit will then give us talents. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says this. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Our talents, those are a gift. And they're to be used for our fellow man and especially for our church members and congregants. And folks, this is where we realize that we, as church members and congregants, are the gifts. You see, when you start looking at yourself as this, when you realize that God gave you a gift, that your gift starts with salvation, that it extends to his son, that you now are promised heaven. But when you can move beyond that and you can say that there's more to it than just that, when you realize that God also gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that God gives us the gift of talents, and that God gives us those gifts to serve our congregants. Now all of a sudden I can look at you and you can look at me and we can say this: praise God that he's made each and every one of us gifts. You're a gift to me, and every day I pray that I'll be a gift to you. And every day that we assemble in this church, and every day that we come together and get to know each other better, we realize that we're called to serve each other. That makes us gifts. The Lord spoke to Aaron in Numbers 18, 6 and 7, saying this. He says, I say it again, Aaron, your kinsmen, the Levites, are your assistants for the work of the tabernacle. They are a gift to you from the Lord. But you and your sons, the priests, shall personally handle all of the sacred service, including the altar and all that is within the veil, for the priesthood is your special gift of service. Now let me explain what that passage means, because we can go all the way back to the Old Testament times to see that this premise still applies. Here's what we know. We know that God was talking to Aaron. We know that he was saying to Aaron, listen, Aaron, I understand you've got a service. That's a gift. But I also want you to see this. Those kinsmen of yours, those people that come from you, those people that are part of you, those are your assistants. Those are your gifts. Today they function in the same way as congregants. They're all of you. You are a gift to each other. Aaron got to see this within the tabernacle. He got to see this within the temple. He leaned on the very assistants who brought them and helped them to make the sacrifices and the offerings to their heavenly Father. You're a gift. God says you're a gift. Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 7, he says, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Folks, service comes from servants. Service comes from servants. If we did not have a servant like Velma, your pastor would be playing. I can't play the piano. Although that wasn't bad, was it? It wasn't bad. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where Melinda finds birthday cards as big as cars. I don't know where she finds those, but she does. I don't know how Jerry Butler fixes my toilet in my home, but he did, and it works really well. It's good, because otherwise I'd have to lift the top off and do it. That was no fun. I don't know, folks, what you know, but I do know this. I know that God made you a gift. He gave you talents, and those talents are supposed to benefit and edify and encourage and help your fellow congregants. We all function together. That's how we get better. This is what service is. Service comes from the servants, and servants give to their congregants. Folks, look at Ephesians 2:10, Titus 2:14. Again, we're going to read this real quick. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, we read these words because this is incredibly important. And here's what it says. It says, it is God himself who has made us what we are, given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Titus 2:14 sounds very similar. Paul said in that passage, he says, he, being Jesus, died under God's judgment against our sins so that he could rescue us from constant falling into sin and make us his very own people with cleansed hearts and real enthusiasm for doing kind things for others. What are we doing for our church and its members? Did we become members of the Covell Community Church for the gifts? I can assure you we don't have donuts every Sunday. That would be one gift that you're missing out on by being a member of the Covell Community Church and perhaps not another congregation. We don't offer donuts every Sunday. I can't tell you that we have a lot of tangible, functional gifts that other churches possess or have or offer. I can tell you this. You're the gifts. And in my opinion, this is one of the greatest congregations, and we have a lot among our congregants to offer. Are we willing to be those gifts? Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Christ. His holy work is found inside and outside the walls of this church. Folks, we're not done. In fact, we've only begun. The work continues, but we need you. Roy Matheson once said this. He says, our gifts should produce care and concern for one another. Every believer has a twofold responsibility to first discover his gift and then develop his gift. Why? So we can be servants too and not just request the service of our church members and congregation. You see, the gift of church membership is our opportunity, moving back all of those 7 weeks that we've covered this topic. It's our opportunity to function. It's our opportunity to unify. It is our opportunity as members to pray for and lead our family to and selflessly serve and treasure the church and its members. Instead of what we can get, perhaps today, as we finalize this sermon series that's culminated over 7 weeks, perhaps we should ask, what can I give my fellow members? Jesus said in Luke 6:38, he says, for if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Folks, if you treasure church membership as a gift, you and I, fellow church members, will give praise and glory and thanksgiving to God our giver. In fact, we read this in Psalm 107:1. He says, say thank you, Lord, for being so good, for always being so loving and kind. And so this is what I do today. I say thank you, Lord, for this gift of membership, for bringing us together to serve each other because of the example that was given to us by Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, no matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. God gave us this church and these members. Do we see each other as God's special gifts? Are we willing to serve each other with our gifts? Are we willing to praise the sovereign and holy giver of these gifts? If so, we will serve and we'll volunteer. And we'll pray, and we'll lead, and we will be the church members that God has called us and expects us to be. And so I finish with this question. 7 weeks running, I ask this question, what is a church member? It's a believer. It's a servant. It is someone who is willing to pray for and function and lead their family members to and care for and love and serve this whole congregation, every single believer. That is what God expects of a church member. So today, as promised, we have brought the books. If you are a member of the Covell Community Church, if you question if you're a member of the Covell Community Church, we have a list of the members of the Covell Community Church. As a member of the Covell Community Church, this book is going to be given to your family free today. So when we finish today, when we finish our final song, if you're a member, come forward. We're going to meet you here. In fact, Kim, you want to come on up here? We'll just get you up here early. You look so excited. Come on. You're going to help me sing, too. That's as far as you're going? That's the point of demarcation. All right. No, at least I got her there. All right. So she is going to check your name off. I'm going to hand you a book. I'm going to meet you right here. Please, folks, read this book. You're going to read this book. It's like 80 pages. I mean, look how thin it is. Big print, too. So it's only going to take you, I mean, literally half a day to read this. But here's what I encourage you to do. As you read this book, you're going to hear a lot of the things that came out of this sermon series. There's a reason for that. It's because I used, and Tom Rainer gives a study guide and a sermon guide with regards to this. Never done this before, but I'm excited about this because I do believe that you're going to see the biblical mandates tells us how to function as a member in the church. Every one of you as a member will get this book. If you're a couple, you get one. If you're a family of five, you get one. Just make note of it that you have to share it and read it. If you say you know what? I want to give it to somebody else. You can. It's yours. You do whatever you want with it. But I encourage you to get to know it, because this is good stuff regarding membership in the church. We have a responsibility, and that responsibility today is to be servants to our congregants. Let's stand and close with hymn number 482, Jesus is Calling. So this is it, guys. Seven weeks of sermon series. This is where it culminates to. We're going to give you this book. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. It's a big Sunday. It's a big Sunday because we're going to commemorate Jesus coming into in his triumphal procession into Jerusalem as he prepared for his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion and the resurrection. On Easter Sunday, folks, it is going to be an amazing Sunday and a Sunday you will not want to miss. So we encourage all of you, tell everybody else about what we're doing out here, and remember to be a servant to your congregants. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every opportunity that you give us to serve you. Today we pray that we'll be willing to serve you and our fellow man. Help us, I pray, in everything to honor you. And I pray today that we will do what you've called us to do. You've given us talents. You've given us abilities. You've blessed us with the gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And I pray today that we would be willing to use them to influence and impact this church and your kingdom. We thank you for everything that you've given us. We praise you for this day and this worship service, and we pray today now that you go with us, keep us safe, help us to encourage, help us to edify those around us, and I pray today that we'll make a difference in our workplaces and in our homes and especially in our church home. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. Come get your books.